Right, we're back with Senator Jeremy Moss. Did you ever do any journalism?
Did I ever do any journalism? Yeah, absolutely. In this building, Tim.
Yes.
So, yeah, I am a product of the journalism school here. And so, you know, we had different assignments. But, you know, when you're a journalism student and you have an assignment, you can get it in the newspaper.
Did you ever watch this show?
Did I ever watch the show? Yeah, you would walk around here, and we all students would kind of duck and cover and go the other way.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, and I promised you a question.
Yeah, so just wanted to ask you, I know you've been a strong proponent of transparency legislation, the FOIA, the financial disclosure, really trying to make public officials accountable. So what's going on in the Senate? The House has done a lot of passing out some of these and are considering these bills, but the Senate haven't heard a peep at this point.
So obviously everything, just as with everything else, we're waiting till this budget gets done. But, you know, me and Ed McBroom are still fierce proponents of the legislation that we wrote 4 years ago. We're going to take a look at what upgrades and updates are needed to it based on what the House passed. But I think you're going to see three topics, hopefully moving quickly. Number one, this FOIA LORA package. Number two, financial disclosure. And number three, which is something that Senator McBroom and I are working on, is subjecting universities to the Open Meetings Act. That is something that been huge. Well, I don't care if they love it or not. A lot of my colleagues don't love FOIA LORA. So, you know, that's not the point. The point is to make sure, especially with what's been going on around the state, in particular this university, we need to make sure that our universities, whose boards are elected into their position, have the same responsibility to be as open and transparent as every other elected
autonomy
body.
They will argue on constitutional ground you can't do it.
I have no care in the world about that, because they are reporting to the public, and they are taking public tax dollars and they are making decisions that impact the public. And so they have to be subjected to the same transparency as just about any other elected official here in the state of Michigan. And I absolutely believe they need to be subjected to the Open Meetings Act.
Well, do you have a commitment from anybody to move any of these bills?
Ed McBroom, they're probably going to go all to Ed McBroom's committee, and we have been full partners on this endeavor after the budget, just like everything else.
On October 2, there is going to be called something a rally for religious liberty, and they're taking specific aim at the LGBTQ community, saying that you all have infiltrated the state capitol, and
you?
Me.
Yeah. and basically are running an agenda to try and get special rights for those in that community. And I wanted to get your reaction to that and the fact that this is a continued discussion.
You know, it's funny, I saw that, and the language they used is that the government is full of admitted homosexuals who want to push forward on gay civil rights. So I immediately texted Dana Nessel and I said, they're on to us. I mean, yeah. Of course we're going to push forward on gay rights here in the state of Michigan. You know, these people think obsessively more about gay people than gay people think about gay people. I don't wake up every morning thinking about being gay. They wake up every morning thinking about how their gay elected officials pushing forward
but
for equal rights.
But they say that you guys want special rights.
These are equal rights. I mean, you know, we are adding to the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, which has existed for 40 years, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to existing protected classes.
But you aren't
no more, no less.
You aren't. This thing is dead, isn't it?
Oh, it's not dead.
Prove to me that it's alive.
We've been talking about it. For the very first time, we've had the bully pulpit of the governor's office, where we introduced this in her ceremonial office in the state capitol. And so the stakes have been raised. We have a Republican co-sponsor in the House on this. The stakes have been raised. The vast majority of the public is with us on this. The stakes have been raised. So we are absolutely making more ground each day, day by day. And I would not say that this is something that is dead if we can get enough Republican legislators to say, listen, if you put it up for a vote on the board, I'm going to vote for it. And that's how you kind of put pressure on leadership to take it up.
Just in the Senate, how many votes do you have today, and how many senators would you put into the column of persuadable?
So I think we would get to a majority. I truly believe that.
Would you
that.
Put it up on the board today?
Absolutely. I've been saying that for the last 4 years. In the House, no question you would get to a majority. And in the Senate, I think you'd get to a majority.
How many votes?
I think you might be right on that cusp of, you know, 18, 19. But the thing is that all Senate Democrats have signed on to this, and we are going to try work. In the Senate, you can continue to get co-sponsors. So it's not just because a bill's enrolled doesn't mean people people won't sign on to it, and we're going to work on a Republican
ballot
to stand up for.
So we started any progress on convincing Republican leadership about this. You know, they've been very staunchly against opening this
so
up.
So one of the things I see as progress moving forward is that as a community, we have faced so many setbacks and so many attacks legislatively. We've kind of stopped the bleeding, for lack of a better term. We haven't been fighting against so much that has come to the legislature. And so now it's time to shift the tide and push forward on that. And so I think that's a result of having representation at the table. There's not one senator that can say, I don't know a gay person, because I do show up and I advocate for different issues that, and I work with them. And so I think we're able to move the needle on that just
Senator,
by showing up.
We started
up.
This program talking about your relationship with Lee Chatfield.
Yes.
So have you had a heart-to-heart talk with him about allowing a vote on this?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have.
How long ago?
Just over the summer, we've had a conversation about it. I mean, he has his core convictions, and I have my core convictions, and we've talked about, you know, what does it look like? Should somebody in the state of Michigan be fired just due to the sole fact, and if they have evidence, that it's because of their sexual orientation and gender identity? Obviously, he's not there. Obviously. I mean, it's not up for a vote right now. But this is something that there's no question I talk to him about it quite frequently.
You think he's moved at all on it?
I think that he is somebody who has come to Lansing, I think, with some more openness toward talking about it than I think he campaigned on. I think the Lee Chatfield is the speaker is very different than the Lee Chatfield that beat Frank Foster on this issue. But we'll see. Well, I mean, you know, in the Senate, you know, the Senate has never had these discussions. The Senate has never had an openly gay member serving in it before. So, you know, the hurdle's a little bit higher, but I'm willing to work with my colleagues to help clear that.
Well, how about Mike Shirky, the Senate Majority Leader?
That's, you know, I have not had a conversation about this with Mike Shirky.
So when you said to the Speaker, so should somebody be fired because of their sexual orientation? Did he give you an answer?
His biggest hang-up, as we know, is the religious freedom aspect
of it.
All
right, so why don't you give him something there?
I don't think religion should be used as a tool to discriminate. And so that's the rub. We still talk about it. We've been talking about it since our first term when we were on the MERS podcast talking about it. Talking about it is nice. I would love to see action on it. And so that's where it's up to the leadership to really be with where the Michigan public is on it.
Did you agree with the dismissal of the Civil Rights Department?
So I was actually one of a few Senate Democrats who didn't sign on to a letter calling for his resignation. Because the Civil Rights Commission, I think, has to be autonomous, to use your term, from the legislature, from legislative action, because they are solely tasked with investigating claims of discrimination. And if they're investigating claims of LGBT discrimination. And if they decide that there is an employer in the state of Michigan who's committed discrimination against the LGBT community and a conservative legislator disagrees with that, they should have no more right to insert themselves in that decision than me as a legislator to insert themselves in the decision of what they do with their executive director.
Except in advance of that, the legislature does insert itself into the discussion via advice and consent.
In terms of who serves on the commission,
right,
but not in terms of the mechanics and the day-to-day. The commission itself is set there specifically to investigate these claims and then dole out the remedies. Is it a fine? Is it losing a business license? So no legislator should come in and say, I disagree with the decision and the remedy based on a discrimination claim that the commission found.
So it sets a bad standard.
Yeah, they investigate it.
It's micromanaging.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even micromanaging. We shouldn't be managing it. Everybody wants due process. They went through this due process, and they determined that he deserved a reprimand. And so I'm going to leave it up to the commission, which has the expertise to investigate claims of discrimination, without interference from the legislature.
So he was treated unfairly.
I think what he said was egregious. But the commission has the decision on what to do with his employment, not the legislature.
And so now the fact that he's gone, are you okay with what happened there as the final remedy? They did end up deciding to go back and broom him out.
And that was the decision of the commission. You know, if I was on the commission, I wouldn't be happy with his remarks. I probably, you know, might have made a different decision, but I'm not on the commission. So I let them decide. Because, again, they are tasked with investigating claims of discrimination without legislative interference. And on any other claim of discrimination, I don't think a legislator should hop up and down and say, you know what, I don't agree with that, and I'm going to supersede the decision of the commission and interfere with the decision of the commission.
Well, how is calling for a resignation superseding with that decision?
Because there was due process. They made that decision to keep him on and reprimand him, and I don't think that it's up to the legislature to interfere with that process on any claims that the Civil Rights Commission investigates.
Senator, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a senator, so I made it pretty well so far.
What about after that?
Re-election.
All right, let's end on that note,
right.
Okay? I'll see you downtown.
Sounds good.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you
Tim.
Showing up.
Mm-hmm.